Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, October 22nd, 2015. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I am fit and ready.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear. And Kelly Goumont. How's it going, Kelly?
Star Wars what? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Kelly, you need to listen to the first part of yesterday's Apple Context Machine.
Okay. That's still where my head is at right now. I just need to let you guys know. So
yeah, and any Star Wars fans out there, listen to the October 21st Apple Context Machine if you don't already. At least the first part of it, because Brian and I, we totally got our Star Wars nerd on. Oh yeah. Anyhow, hey, we have a sponsor today.
Let's get our Apple nerd on now.
Yeah, we're going to get our Apple nerd on. And our sponsor is Drobo. We'll be talking about them soon. But hey, before we get there, I thought that maybe we should talk a little bit about the fact that Apple TV apps can be submitted now to the App Store.
This is awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So what that means is that Apple is in the process of accepting developers' apps and then reviewing them for approval so they can be ready when the Apple TV ships at the end of next week. Mm-hmm. And people are setting these things up. They're going to want to install some apps. So there need to be some apps available. And it looks like Apple is doing what it can to make sure that we have at least a handful come launch day, which is October 30th.
This is going to drive my wife crazy. She's going to go, what? A new Apple TV? Wait a minute. Do I have to learn how to use some new device? Where's the remote? Oh, it's a new remote. Oh, no.
Your wife is very smart. I've met her. Yes, I'm not concerned about this. Yeah.
But also, I will venture that for a lot of people, this will be an improvement because what we've seen of the remote looks really interesting and still very easy to use. So it still seems like something you could totally work with. I think they said that there's like gestures
and
on
Siri. And Siri.
Right. The Siri stuff is going to be awesome. But also,
I can't wait.
I think gestures are going to really help because it brings it to it makes it a little bit more iOS-y. You know how you swipe around on your phone? If you can swipe around on the remote and have a similar experience, I think that that's going to be super helpful for a lot of people.
And I'm hoping that the gesture controls work better than they do in the remote app on the iPhone.
Yeah, because that was never a good experience.
No, that's more like drunk navigating.
It really
was. I can't
it was
wait
roulette.
To see. I can't wait to see how well Siri works. That's gonna. I've written about that in the past, about how noise in the room and understanding your real intentions. And it's one thing for a computer nerd like us to talk to Siri and sort of figure out what she can do and what can't be done. And lead her along and help. But, for an average person to pick up this device and start talking into it and expect everything to work perfectly, that's going to be interesting to see.
Yes,
well, even
is.
To have it work better, I think, would be to work well. Show me comedies, show me popular movies, show me, the kind of easy stuff. Like, I have a feeling that stuff's going to be pretty dialed in. So hopefully that will end up being something that at least is minimally useful for a lot of people, because I do like the idea that you can talk to it and you can say, show me Star Wars, instead of having to go search and then use navigation to go S, select.
Yeah, I know.
Right arrow, T, select. Right arrow, right arrow. Right. I'm hoping it's better than that.
There's going to be a cartoon one of these days soon that says, first frame, it says, show me all the movies with the car DeLorean in it. And Siri's going to come back and say, did you want to watch My Mother, the Car? I just know something like that's going to happen.
Yeah. We do have the Simpsons clip with the Newton message pad.
Yes. Eat up, Martha.
Yeah. Yes. And if Siri doesn't work like incredibly well on Apple TV, I'm sure we're going to have skits and cartoons and everything totally mocking it.
I just can't wait to see the Easter eggs. Like we had yesterday with Back to the Future Day.
That's right. Yeah.
That, so what sort of clever answers are you going to get from Siri and the Apple TV?
That's you know, going to be fun. People are going to be asking all kinds of questions.
All kinds of crazy crap. I can't wait.
Yes. So now I'm curious to see which developers have apps ready to go on Apple TV launch day and what they're doing with those apps.
That's my question, is what the apps are. I'm curious who's, you know, we've seen a few reports of people submitting apps, but mostly what I'm curious about is what those apps will do aside from games. Like the game right. thing makes sense to me on an inherent level. Like I want to be able to play the game on the big screen TV, you know, even though, you know, for a phone, I have a big screen. Like I want a really big screen for some of this stuff. And so like that, I understand there's probably going to be a ton of games available. But what about stuff that isn't games? That's the thing that I'm excited to see what people find useful in the Apple TV as a part of home technology.
Yeah, I'm really curious too, because right now I'm not sure what developers are going to be bringing to the table outside of games.
Mm-hmm. So if you are one of those developers,
yes, please let
us know. We would love, not only would we love to hear from you, we would love to hear from you so we can tell everybody else about what you're up to.
Yes, because there's going to be a lot of people really interested in what sort of apps are available. And considering how navigating the App Store is today, I'm expecting it's not going to be as easy as we would like to find all of the great new Apple TV apps. So let us know. And you can do that on Twitter if you'd like. That would be TMO Daily. You can do that in the show notes for today's episode. And you can also shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com. And let us know. Now, also, Kelly, you were looking for developers that are dealing with stuff related to Force Touch?
Yes, I'm looking for all of the touches, actually. If you are a developer who's currently working with 3D Touch on the iPhones, now that we have this on the current S series, I would like to find out, because we saw it in the demos, we saw what it was going to look like. And it's kind of hard to develop for that until you actually get it in your hand and you can see what Force Touch and Peak and Pop actually operate like. It's kind of hard to sort of figure out the right place for that in your app until you actually have one in your hand to try. So now that they've been around for a little while and developers have had a chance to get their hands on them, I would love to know more about how you are adding it to your app and how your assessment of it has changed now that you've actually got it in your hand. So again, the same contact mechanisms work. You can catch me on Twitter directly as Verso, V-E-R-S-O. And I'm more than happy to chat with you about what you're doing with your app. And also, if you're looking at Force Touch, you may remember I was really excited about Force Touch and I was really excited to get it on my computer. But so far, all I've gotten out of Force Touch is that I have this trackpad that clicks everywhere instead of just at the bottom. So if that's you're working on, well, that's true. And I do really like that. But I want to be able to use Force Touch to do something useful. So if you are working on a way to integrate that into things, now that you can get Force Touch on any Bluetooth 4 Mac with the new Magic Trackpad, please, again, get a hold of us exactly the same way. We want to talk to you. And you can catch me directly via email at my first name at macobserver.com. So go ahead and get in touch with me and let me know what you're doing, because more importantly than finding out what you're doing, I really want to be able to tell everybody else what it is that you're doing so that other people like John and I, who have these awesome Force Touch trackpads but can't do anything with them, who are really looking forward to doing things with them, want to be able to find the stuff that's going to be able to let us do that.
Yep. And then I am going to be getting an iPad Pro and an Apple Pencil. So if you know of apps, if you're working on apps, anything that is going to take advantage of Apple Pencil, let me know, because I'm really curious to see how different developers are taking advantage of Apple's crack at a pressure-sensitive stylus. So let me know. I really want to know. Okay, hey, I said we have a sponsor today, and I was not kidding. We really do. That sponsor is Drobo. And the reason you would want a Drobo is because you have a lot of data Could be. It doesn't matter what kind of files it is. Maybe you just like writing poems, and so you have to have a separate file for each poem. I don't know. Or maybe you like to keep movies around, or music, or you need to back up gobs of data. And the thought of having to set up a RAID system on your desk just is not appealing. Well, there you go. That's what Drobo is going to do for you. You just pull it out of the box and plug it in, and then you can start storing stuff on it. It's really simple to use if you have, a Drobo that has four bays in it. You can put four hard drives in, or you can just put a couple, whatever. And then later on, when you realize you need more storage, okay, pop drives into the other bays that are empty. And then if you realize the drives you're using are too small, okay, just pop them out one at a time and replace them with bigger drives. You're not going to lose any data. You're doing all of this stuff in real time. It's all hot swappable. And then if you have a drive that dies, well, then not a problem. You just get your new drive, pop out the dead one, put the new one in, and away you go. It's an amazing, beautiful thing. It's wonderful. I've been using a Drobo for a couple of years, and it has been working just wonderfully for me. And I've been really impressed with the performance that I'm getting off of mine, meaning how quickly I can read and write files off of it. And what I also love is that Drobo wants to give you guys a way to save some money. So what you need to do is go to their website. So that is drobostore.com. And then use the discount code TMO100. So that's TMO100. And when you do that, you can pick up a Drobo Mini, a Drobo 4-bay, or a Drobo 5N, and you're going to get $100 off whichever one you pick up, which is really great. I mean, that's a really nice discount. And the Drobo Mini, it's like a portable version of Drobo, so you can take it with you on the go. And the Drobo 4-bay, well, that's a nice little desktop system with four hard drive bays in it. And the 5N goes on your network, so you can use it for network storage, for whatever you want. You can install apps on it, like Plex, which then lets you turn it into a home media server, which is really cool. And there you go, $100 off. So hit their website, drobostore.com, and use the discount code TMO100. Thank you, Drobo, for being our sponsor today. All right. Now, the other thing I wanted to look at today, and this is something that just kind of happened this morning. I was looking at new apps that were coming out for the iPhone, and Instagram has a new app out, and it's called Boomerang. And the Boomerang app, what I'm equating it to Instagram's answer to Live Photo. And so what it does is it lets you take your iPhone, point it at whatever you want to take a picture of, and you tap the little shutter button in the Boomerang app, and it snaps 10 photos real quick and stitches them together into a little movie that's like a second or so long, and then lets you send it right out to Instagram, Facebook, or just out to your camera roll. And it looks like a cool little app. I've installed it, but I've been so busy this morning, I haven't been able to take what would you call them? Boomerangs of my face. And I'm curious what you guys think about this.
I think it's silly. I think it's totally silly. Why didn't Instagram just allow you to upload live photos? Why create something that's completely incompatible?
Well, we don't know that they aren't going to add live photo support. Facebook has said it's coming.
Yeah.
Which could mean anything.
I think this... Well, right now, I sort of don't get it. Mostly because I think I made one video with Hyperlapse one time. I already have burst mode, and I already have that workflow that lets me take however many individual images and string them together into an animated GIF. So I think, and I have a 6S, so I have the ability to take a live photo. I think maybe if I didn't, this might get more of my attention. Because not everybody in the world got a new phone. So it's possible that maybe this is something that they're doing for people who didn't get a phone that can take live photos. So maybe that's a piece of this.
Sure. Yeah, because it's available for iOS and Android.
Yeah. So I think there may be something to that, but mostly, I guess I guess I don't understand a 1 second video. Like, I know I have a low attention span, but even I can sit through a Vine.
It's a gimmick. It's just something to get people engaged and having fun. It's not, it's just something to play with, just a little toy. And people will play with it for a while and then move on.
Well, do you think that's the same case for Live Photos, John?
Yes, actually.
I'm going to disagree with you completely. And the reason I'm going to disagree with you is because I've had the opportunity to take photos that totally changed my mind about Live Photos. So the deal is, there are some little kids in my life, and having Live Photos with little kids, holy crap. I mean, that's a game changer. It's like the people that have always said FaceTime is a gimmick. They don't
have grandkids.
Yeah, they don't
someplace
have,
else.
Yeah, they don't have kids in their life. They don't have that connection that they need to make with someone that's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
it's
let me correct myself. I think if something is well done and catches on and becomes sort of a quasi standard, then you have unintended consequences and people start using it for new things and become creative and inventive with it. And then it solidifies and people use it. But if you start having a fractured environment where one company does this and one company does that, and you don't have any kind of focus on what its future can be, then it doesn't get that widespread use, and then unintended consequences, and then folding into our culture is an important thing. So yeah, I think there's hope for Live Photos because Apple has so much influence.
Yeah, I think Live Photos is going to be more than just a gimmick for a lot of people.
Oh, now, absolutely. I think it's getting there already.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first time I took a nighttime live photo. Well, I sent the one to you, Kelly.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was super, super neat.
And it actually, we've both used it in articles now. And I'm standing outside a kite store on Pearl Street Mall in Boulder at night. And all the kites are spinning in the store. So I did a live photo, and it was just really, really cool. And I loved it. It was just this really neat thing. But then the first time I took a live photo of the little kids in my world, it was like, all right, I totally get where Apple's going with this. And this is a thing. And actually, Kelly, I believe I sent one of those to you just so you could see
how
that looked.
And it was it so cute. Yes, it's live photo is an amazing thing. And part of why is another reason that I think it's useful is not just for kids, but if you've ever tried to get more than one person in a picture to do the same thing at the same time, regardless of whether that's smile or do something really goofy or anything in between, you always have, like, I always end up with the photo that's like the split second before or after
mm-hmm.
the thing that I'm actually trying to do. And so that's, for me, that's the nice thing about live photo is that I can always go in there and sort of scoop out the picture I meant to take.
Yeah, which is
really, really awesome.
Cool. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, now in comparison, I think Boomerang may fall more into the category John was talking about, where it's more of a gimmick. And of course, time will tell. I mean, the app's been available for, what, a couple hours now?
For a few hours, yeah.
Yeah, so we really don't know. And I haven't even had a chance to start experimenting with it. So maybe I'll change my mind. And if I decide that Boomerang actually is a really cool thing and not just a Me Too sort of gimmicky thing to follow Live Photos, I'll let you know. I'm not above telling you that I was wrong.
Do you have to upload them to Instagram to view them, or can you, after you take them with the camera, do they go in your camera roll or someplace, and can you view them on your phone after you take them?
They go into your camera roll as well. So yeah, so you upload them to Instagram and Facebook to view them. I'm not sure if you can view them in your camera roll, but they definitely save to your camera roll.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what format they're saving in. If they're being saved as a GIF, well, then there you go. You can just show them anywhere. It doesn't matter. But if it's some proprietary format, well, then that would be a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll let you know. I haven't had a chance to really check it out a lot, but my first impression is maybe this is kind of gimmicky. It's not a live photo thing.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it too.
That's where I'm at. Is I think this is a time will tell kind of thing. So,
all right. Well, I'm curious to see what you guys think of it, and especially you, John, since you use these apps in a completely different way than I do.
I'll see if I have time.
Fair enough. I'll just badger you until you
see. Jeff has me working so hard on other projects. I just, you know, gotta squeeze minutes in here, squeeze minutes here and there.
I'm like a slave driver.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, sorry about that. A little. Hey, we're out of time. So, yeah, I know. So, Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Oh, of course. It was my pleasure.
And, John, thank you for being here.
Back to the salt mines.
Yes, indeed. And, Drobo, thank you for being our sponsor today. And head over to their website, drobostore.com. And use the discount code TMO100 to get yourself $100 off. And listeners, thank you for being here. We will see everyone again tomorrow.